Welcome to Kill Chain, a platform cybersecurity and technology podcast presented by Fleet Defender. I'm your host, Marcus Q, and I'm here with Terry Reinert, who's a cybersecurity expert and CEO of Fleet Defender. Hi, Terry.
Hey, Marcus. How you doing?
Doing well. Today, we are going to be talking about how to prevent theft, and specifically in the logistics and freight space, using technology. So stay tuned. Terry, great to be talking with you today. I know this is a topic that we've been wanting to cover for a while, just based off of some of the different use cases that we've talked with people about and the rise in cargo theft that's been going on.
Yeah, cargo theft and vehicle theft, both. I mean, we've seen a huge rise in both over the last couple of years.
Yeah, the Dankia boys, they're out there.
Yeah. I mean, and they're everywhere too. I mean, we've been hearing kind of the same, thread from, our North American, customers. And then a lot of the people we're talking to in Central and South America, they're really battling this problem right now.
Yeah. It seems to be a huge problem and definitely varies in kind of, TTPs, like techniques and procedures.
I'm trying techniques, techniques, tactics, and procedures.
There we go. Yeah. Different TTPs for theft in different parts of the world as well. I know when we talk with our Central and South American partners, a lot of times it's, a lot of GPS jamming and actual physical theft of the truck, the freight, everything. It just goes missing. And then we talk to North America, and the most common one that I've been seeing online is actually people will set up fake freight brokerage companies so that they can, schedule to pick up a load. They go pick it up and that load just disappears. So they're like setting up fake companies.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, we've kind of run the whole gamut of everything. I mean, we were talking with one customer that is, they've got quite a few trucks running in apparently not so good area. And I mean, one of the big problems that they're faced with is they'll have guys, roll up in cars with GPS and cellular jammers, jam all the signals around the truck. So that way, the driver can't call for help, or if there's any installed telematics or anti-theft or whatever, it all just gets jammed. So no signals can get out. And then they force the driver out of the truck, with a shotgun. And I mean, that's today, 2023, you're still dealing with, drivers getting pulled out of trucks with shotguns. But, because of the rise in technology and connected technology, even the criminals had to get, a little bit better on their game and start jamming signals and doing things like that. And we've got other reports that, on the other side, far away from the whole shotgun approach, cyber criminals, attacking logistics carriers to get manifests so they know which truck to intercept and steal. They don't have to sit there with binoculars and, at a port and try to figure out, what container went on what truck. They know exactly the truck. They know the driver. They know when it's showing up. They know where it's going. They know the route that it's going, and they can intercept it, somewhere along that path. And so it's crazy. All cyber is just a cat and mouse game where as defense and security gets better, the criminals have to evolve their attacks and, so on and so forth. It's just a constant game.
Yeah. I mean, to think about cellular and GPS jamming as being something that pretty much anybody can do now from their car, 20 years ago, that would feel like some nation state level type of stuff. But now it's all, technology just improves, gets smaller and gets more affordable. So I think a lot of that is a little bit scary to think about all the stuff that goes on. But let's talk about the positive side of new technologies that are coming out and that, we've been talking about to prevent this kind of stuff.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff. I mean, in South America, some of our, customers there, like I said, they're dealing with cargo theft right now. Complicit and non-complicit, cargo theft. And so we're actually looking at a solution where we can actually tag each individual pallet and then marry it to a truck. And you can, there's really a lot of reasons for that too. Not just theft, but did you get the right pallet on the right truck going to the right place? And if the earlier you catch it, the faster you can fix it, right? And so, you know, there's things like that, but then using the exact same technology, we can use that for theft. If someone's stealing a pallet, and diverting it from where it's supposed to go, we're able to detect that in real time. And then the company, you know, one, knows about it, and two, can alert authorities and then go retrieve their goods. And so, yeah, you know, it's expanding beyond just the truck, and it's looking at the entire ecosystem, and how can we, you know, optimize operations, prevent theft, which all leads to increased revenues, or, you know, mitigating the risk of losing revenue.
Yeah, that's a really interesting idea about marrying pallets up with trucks, even to your point, beyond theft, of just accuracy, is that now each unit is married to the correct truck. And that's really cool, because then you don't, you know, you prevent incorrect deliveries and everything like that. So that's a good idea. So when we talk about GPS jamming, is there any way around that? Or is that kind of a thing that once it's jammed, it's jammed?
There's ways around it. You know, there's, you know, so what's interesting is GPS falls under a category of GNSS, right? And like under, you know, global navigation system type stuff. And GPS isn't the only one, you know, there's multiple ones. There's like GLONASS, BeiDou, you know, Europe's got one, China's got one. I think Russia's got one. We've got one, you know, but GPS is the one that you hear about the most, right? Cause like we put it up there, the United States did, and it's, you know, proliferated pretty far around the globe, and it's pretty open that people can use it. So, but yeah, I mean, you can put multi, you know, if you have a system that supports multiple different GNSS solutions, then if they're jamming just the GPS frequencies, maybe, you know, one of the other ones will get in. But then another way of at least maintaining navigation in a GPS denied area, you can do a lot of, and back in the day, we called it dead reckoning, but, you know, with the advent of some of these machine learning technologies that we've created, we're actually able to even more accurately track where the vehicle is, even without GPS, just using data off of like sensors that already exist on the vehicle. And so, you know, it really depends on what you're trying to do, on whether you're just trying to navigate, or if you're trying to avoid getting robbed, right. You know, but there are ways around some of that stuff.
So when we were talking about kind of the technology with marrying pallets to a truck, in my mind, like I'm thinking of devices, and then there's a device on every single pallet. Does that get just like exorbitantly expensive? Like, is that, you know, in my mind, that would be crazy expensive to put something on every pallet.
There's quite a few different ways that you can do it. It really depends on what you want to accomplish, right? Like if you want to track that pallet everywhere it goes, whether it's next to the truck or not next to the truck, then of course you got to have some kind of emitter, you know, on that pallet, you know, so like a cellular modem or like a small device, right? And I mean, we're even experimenting and prototyping multiple different devices that are super cheap to make. So they're almost throwaways, really, when you think about it. And so that's one method. If all you care about is knowing which pallet goes on the truck and then when the pallet comes off the truck, then you don't really need an emitter on the pallet. You just need a unique signature on it, like an RFID tag or something. And then like, as it passes through the doors of the truck, scans the RFID tag, and then you know where it is. And, you know, it kind of automates the, you know, having the person standing there with the little, you know, QR code scanner gun scanning pallets as they go in the door. It just automates that and makes it, you know, error prone mitigates the errors, like, you know, takes the human out of the loop. And that's where a lot of the errors get induced.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. So RFID tags is kind of what we're talking about. And that those are pretty cheap, I imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be a very cheap system. It is. I mean, you know, the tags end up being throwaway tags. You just stick them on there and it just goes away. But you know, the RFID readers and then the system kind of on the back end that actually does the data processing, that's the part that actually you have to maintain. But luckily you install it once and until it breaks, it just stays there. Right. And then the little RFID tags, those are cheap and they just, you know, can throw those away. But yeah, there's a lot of different ways that you can do it. Again, and what it really boils down to is just really sitting down with the customer and understanding exactly what it is they're trying to accomplish. And I mean, it all starts with the requirements, right? Because what you don't want to do from a business perspective is make a gadget that doesn't do what the customer needs, or does 30 other things that you have to price higher that they won't buy, right? So even just from a business standpoint, just like really, truly understanding the customer's needs and what their overall mission and objective is, that's where like we can really help put together the right system that gets them to where they need to go quickly and cheaply.
Yeah, we talked a little bit. I jokingly mentioned the Kia boys, but vehicle theft, even beyond cargo theft and everything, has been really interesting. I don't know if that's the right word, but really interesting to see over the last few years how things have really changed from cracking a window and or breaking a window and using a screwdriver to start a car to people injecting canned messages through the headlight, right? Like, I mean, even car theft has really changed. And I wonder how OEMs or aftermarket technology is dealing with the rise in more technical car theft, I guess.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, just car theft in general, technical or not, like there are vehicles that are easier to steal than others. And, you know, some of those OEMs are actually having a hard time with their customers getting insurance on the cars because they just didn't invest in security. And it really is difficult to, or it's not difficult to steal the car. So then, of course, those are the ones that are getting stolen the most and so on and so forth. And you know, we talked about some of the vehicle theft using high-tech methods before. It really is crazy that you can get access to the CAN bus. You know, if you have physical access to the car, then it's not difficult, right? Like you can find it in a smart headlight. You can find it in a trunk lid, you know, where it latches. And all you need is a Dremel tool and a little tiny device that you can then probe a connector to gain access to the CAN bus, and it's kind of game over. And then in other cases, and this is a crazy one, like if you have physical access to the vehicle, but you don't want to actually touch the vehicle, you're just nearby it. You know, the NMFTA, they released that, that vulnerability where if you had a software defined radio and you were within a couple hundred yards of the truck or whatever it was, you could actually induce messages on the CAN bus, on the diagnostic bus of the trailer to lock the brakes, you know? And so that just kind of shows where sometimes you don't even need to touch the vehicle or cut the vehicle. If you're just close enough with a high powered enough signal, which you can usually get from a battery and a small antenna in a backpack, you could actually force messages on that CAN bus, cause the car to wake up, unlock the doors and you know, turn off the engine inhibitor, and their start inhibitor and all that. So, we talked before too about how like it's a cat and mouse game, you know, like as defenses get better, offense gets better. And we're at a time right now where offense has gotten better than defense. And we're seeing that a lot with all the car theft and all that. So now it really is on the defense side to say, we need to come up with new technologies. We need to roll out new things that's going to make it harder for people to steal the vehicles.
Yeah, especially using high-tech methods, I assume would have to be a preferred method too because of the lack of destruction to the vehicle that you're stealing, right?
Right, exactly. Yep.
Yeah. And so it's something that probably people just never had to think about before, but now you really do. I know, one example I was thinking of was the message replay from a key fob is that you could essentially try to trigger that key fob inside of a house and it would play the signal to you and then you play the signal to the car. That's pretty wild.
Yeah, that's a crazy one. And I mean, and you can do that with very low cost hardware. Like that does not take much money to create a device to do that. And it completely defeats all the security, right? Like that easy. It's crazy. You know, like it's really interesting because once upon a time, like you had to have the key in the car, like you had to insert it into the ignition, turn it, and it had to stay physically in the mechanical latch, you know, to keep the car running. And then we went to these wireless key fobs where you could just, as long as you had the key fob in the car to start it, it would just run forever, right? Until you shut it off again. But now like you have cars that if you take the key out of the car while it's running, it'll shut the car. It'll shut the engine off at some point. Like, so, I mean, there's times where like you keep your, you know, your Audi or your BMW or whatever it is, you know, key fob in your pocket, you run out to, you know, run into the post office or this or that while the car's running. And then your car just shuts off. Like it will just like, oh, key's not there. And we haven't detected it for so long. And it shuts off. So, because of an attack like that, that's what the OEMs had to do. They had to start like requiring a constant check to make sure the key stayed in the vehicle. Otherwise, like you do this little fancy, you know, replay key fob attack, drive off. Well, once you get far enough away, you're not duplicating that signal anymore. So that's where it, you know, would start to fall off.
Cat and mouse. That's exactly like what you're saying.
That's it.
Cat and mouse, cat and mouse.
That's it. And I mean, and it's even crazier too, because right now there's a lot of connectivity in these cars, and especially with like efficiency, you know, climate regulations and stuff like that. Like people are wanting, like people being like government agencies, watchdogs, OEMs, like they want remote access to data that's on the CAN bus. And so like even going in through cellular, Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, getting into the telematics or the wireless control module or even the head unit, if they're connected to the CAN bus and you've got a savvy enough attacker, you can like pivot through the different components in there to gain access to the CAN bus. And so now like you don't even need to be, you know, physical hands on with the car. If you're going over cellular, the car's got an IP address, and guess what? You can hit an IP address from anywhere in the world to the internet. Like that's why it's designed that way. And so like now you can start having effects on things without even having to even see the vehicle.
Yeah. It's kind of amazing how far all of this technology has come. And of course, you know, there's so many positives to that as well, right? We have another episode you should go listen to, all about over the air updates. And how that's actually a positive change for vehicles using cellular and being able to connect there. But like Terry was saying, cat and mouse game, we have to protect these things. And that's where if you'd be interested in having your fleet or fleet vehicles protected, give us a look at fleetdefender.com. But otherwise, Terry, thank you so much for your time today. This was a fun one.
Yeah, absolutely. They're all fun, to be honest. And yeah, it's really fun. And I'm really looking forward to engaging more with people that are listening. So if you have questions, if you have topics that you want to talk about, you know, or even if you're somebody in the security realm that has something they want to talk about, you know, let me know, like come on the show and we'll have a guest on. That would be fun. So that way people aren't just listening to me and you just yak on and on about this stuff, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, like Terry mentioned, if you'd want to be featured on an episode, or if you have any topics or questions that you'd like answered on a future episode, reach out to us at hello@fleetdefender.com or through our website and our Contact Us page. Again, that's fleetdefender.com. And thank you for listening.